Appreciate all that are here this evening. I'm going to be in my third lesson on Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. That was where I started some time back. It's the model prayer when Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray. And on that first lesson, it was a Wednesday night invitation, and we were looking at what to pray for. My second lesson was 4 weeks ago. Today, on the fourth Sunday evening, and I had realized that I had left out something in that invitation about how we are to forgive, how important it is. And in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 6, we see that we must forgive to be forgiven, is what it's saying. And during that lesson 4 weeks ago, I mentioned that Charlie Kirk's wife, Erica, she made a statement on national TV, and she said, "I forgive him." And she was talking about the man that assassinated her husband. And I stated that she was not obligated to forgive him. And after that lesson, I met some gentle disagreement about what I had said. So since then, I started looking to other folks that have some Bible understanding and scriptural knowledge, and they have been sending their comments in and about forgiving sin. I still kind of stand on my statement, but there will be some adjustments in this lesson. I learned a lot of things, and the people that we asked to make comments on this topic said that they found it to be very interesting. And I'm hoping it'll be interesting to you. I hope that we can all learn something from it and be stronger for it also. I'm going to start out with forgive as Christ forgave you. And I'm looking to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 is where I got this thought. It says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." So it's talking about us forgiving, but it's talking about as Christ forgave you. It's kind of the same things that Matthew 6 and 12 was saying to us. Also in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, it's another scripture that pretty much echoes what Ephesians 4:32 says. But it says, "Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." So how does God forgive sin? In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 23, it says, "Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked? Declares the Lord God." So here God is saying, "Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked? And not rather that he should turn from his way and live." God wants the wicked to turn from their way, to change, to repent. Also in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 in the New Testament, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." So again, we see how God and Christ forgive. They don't want anyone to perish. They don't want anyone to die spiritually. They want them to turn from their way. They want them to repent. And in Luke chapter 23, verses 42 through 43, and you're already noticing I'm giving you a lot more scripture than I did 4 weeks ago. When you get a bunch of heads together looking at God's words, find out scriptural meaning, the about forgiveness, you get a lot more scripture, and it's going to make more sense. Makes more sense to me. And my lesson 4 weeks ago, I wasn't planning on it going in the direction that it did, really. I was just talking about how hard it is to forgive somebody. But I knew I had to do that for God to forgive me. But it went a little further. But here in the Luke 23, verses 42 through 43, it said, and he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now this is a thief hanging on the cross with Jesus on that day that Jesus gave his life for our sins. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. We see here this man, I don't know what his background was. Some say he might have already been looking for the kingdom to come. He might have already been baptized by John the Baptizer with expectations of that. But we see that he's a thief and he's being punished for his sins. And he tells Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. To me, that's a repenting statement. He's realizing who Jesus is, believes in that, and he wants to be remembered. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He was a saved man. He repented. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And this is all coming about because David had taken Bathsheba and had relations with her. Trying to cover it up, he killed her husband, had him killed in the line of battle, but making it where he had no protection. And it's been brought to him now. He was told a story about a man that had a little lamb. A visitor came and he went, this rich man went and got this man's little lamb and gave it to his visitor that was coming through. And David did not like the way that sounded. But here, he's being presented with that thought. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. And that's what David thought that man, that rich man, should do. He should die for taking that little man's lamb. But God put away his sin because David repented. I have sinned against the Lord. He confessed and he repented for what he had done. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, scripture we look at quite often. But Jesus says, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So we're seeing how God and Christ think about sin. Unless you repent, you're going to perish. And he's not talking about it going to be buried in the ground and that's the way it's going to be forever. He's talking about eternity. In a place that will not be comfortable. Also in John chapter 8, verse 24. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So again, there's a lot of people that don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe that he is God. But unless they repent, they're going to die in their sins for thinking that way. Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So repentance for the forgiveness of sins is a condition that God and Christ has upon mankind who sins. They need to repent. They must repent to be forgiven. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Here Jesus is on the cross, nailed to it. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus wants those people that are there urging on his death to be forgiven. And that's what he asked the Father to do, to forgive them. For they do not know what they do. But those shouting, crucify him, were not forgiven at the speaking of those words, because they had not repented yet. And we will revisit this scripture near the end of the lesson. But it can't be said enough, and I think you've already seen it, that Christ always stands ready to forgive. God does not want anyone to perish. And they do not want any to die spiritually. They are always ready to forgive. But the change depends on the offender. The offender must repent and desire forgiveness. That's the way God looks at it. But, as we said in Matthew chapter 6, if Sandy would turn back there again, God wants us to forgive if we are to be forgiven. In verse 12 again, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. In verse 14 and 15, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. So that's a pretty good one to remember, because it's very important. Very important. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 22. We have Peter. He's running with Jesus. He's everywhere Jesus is. He's learning things. And then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. And some versions say 70 times seven times. But both mean an indefinite amount of time. The custom was three times to forgive somebody when they had a trespass. Peter was being generous. He offered seven times to the Lord, said, would that seven times be good enough, Lord? Of course, Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. Luke 17, verses 3 through 4. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. To me, that's a pretty powerful verse right there. Yeah. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day, that's a lot of times, and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. So before forgiveness is realized, the offender must repent, it seems. God has established this condition. We looked at it in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 23. Looked at it in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. To turn from and to reach repentance. That's what is desired for the offender, for the sinner. So how important is our forgiveness? How important is our forgiveness? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. Now if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it to me, not to me, but in some measure not to put it too severely to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. And I'll give you a little background here. This man has committed a sin, and they have Actually, they have cast him out. They have made him feel bad about what he has done. He took his father's wife. We read about that. But here, Paul is saying this man has come to repentance. He says, for such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. For this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. And he says in verse 10, anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ. In other words, he's saying, if you forgive him, I forgive him. And I want you to know that he has been forgiven in the presence of Christ. Welcome back into Christ's fellowship. So, our forgiveness is pretty important. Pretty important. Matthew chapter 18. Verses 15 through 17. If your brother sins against you, and he's talking about a brother, a brethren. So it's somebody pretty close in this. Sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. In other words, they didn't care much for Gentiles. They didn't care much for tax collectors either. But we see here that a brother has sinned against you, or as a member of a congregation, we know about a sin. We are to hold him to repentance. It's kind of like in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 1 through 15, and this is what we was talking about, the man who had his father's wife. It said, it is actually reported that there is a sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even by among pagans. For a man has his father's wife. You are arrogant. Ought not you rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. For though absent in body, I am present in spirit, and as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present, the power of the with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. In other words, he needs to feel this remorse. Realize that he's a sinner. He should not have done this. He has sinned. So that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. So that he can find forgiveness. So we see here that we got to hold to this person repenting in this situation. And it kind of means we can only forgive a brother when he repents. And we may want to forgive him. It might make us feel better. It might clear our minds of the whole situation about him. But we must hold to the thought that he needs to repent. It's for his own good. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. Hope you are not getting bored with these scriptures. I'm glad these scriptures come my way to evaluate them, look at them. But here we have somebody praying, and he says, and whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. We've read stuff like this already, right? But this is a little bit different situation. In this situation, this man is praying to God. And if he, and you may be thinking, well, he's got something against someone. And to have something against someone is kind of a feeling. And could that feeling be a hatred, or could it be contempt for that person? But can you imagine going to your Heavenly Father in prayer with those thoughts in your heart and mind? Anger, hatred, contempt. How awkward would that be to be praying to God in that situation? Jesus is saying you can't approach the Father with such an attitude. And that's very true. You can't. You can't carry that with you in your mind and be praying to God. God ain't going to listen to that. So I ask now this question. Is hatred a result of not forgiving? In my personal experience, about the death of my dad and my stepbrother, who were killed by a drunk driver on the other side of Copeland here on Highway 95 going to Elgin. On November 20th, 1980, sometime around 6:30 p.m. I remember that because I was there. I'll never forget it. But anyway, our family would have welcomed the words, forgive me. But that man never did say anything to us. He never came to us. We never heard a word. And speaking personally, I did not track him down. I didn't know what he looked like. I did see him the night of the accident. He was laying on the road on the county line between Bastrop County and Williamson County and Travis County. And it looked like his nose might have been broken. And people were tending to him. But other than that, I don't know what the man looked like. And I do not know his name. The only thing I do know is that his grandpa was a Lutheran preacher here in Taylor. And I did not put his grandfather's name to my memory. I didn't worry about that. I didn't harbor any hate toward him. Is that right, Nina? Didn't harbor any hate toward that man. And I couldn't say, though, that everything was okay. He killed my stepbrother and my daddy because he was drunk. But I moved on. I left everything in God's hands. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 39. And really what this scripture is, I'll put it shortly. And not read all those verses there. But it says, love God with your everything and love your neighbor as yourself. And we should want the best for everyone. We should pray that those that do wrong should repent. And I will confess to you right now, I did not pray for repentance for this man back then. But after studying this lesson, and I'm glad there was some objection made, or I never would have got to this point. But I have asked God and prayed to God that the man has repented for what he did. But back then I didn't. like I said, I just left it in God's hands. I should have prayed for that man back then. This is what I've learned in the study for this lesson. First John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And I will read these. It says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor slanderers, will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. Yes, that's some pretty bad things spoken of there. But Paul goes on to say, he said, where are we at here? Excuse me. 18. No, wait a minute. Excuse me. What have I wrote down here? Did I miss it? Go back to where we were. Okay, I missed it right there, y'all. I thought it was more at the end of this verse, but here it is right here. All these bad things he was talking about, and such were some of you, because they had been forgiven. Evidently, they repented, which is a good thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 19. It says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us, that means forgiven us, to himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we should be preaching, that people be reconciled to God, repent to him, ask for forgiveness. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So that's the message we have to go with, to hope that and teach that people should repent and be forgiven. We should change. Hopefully we have. But anytime, be like David. If we see we have sinned, we ask for repentance. And we must also hope that others will repent from their sins. That's the message we should preach. Now I'm going to read you some comments from those that participated in this study. It says, if Erica meant, I desire his repentance and salvation, that is Christ-like and in tune with 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. If you would turn to that one, Sandy, just to see, make sure we know what that says. 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 4. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, if that's what she was hoping, that she desired that he repent and that he have salvation, that would be Christ-like. But this person says, but if she meant I release him from the debt of sin, then she's claiming authority she doesn't possess. So think about that. And remember what we've already studied. God never forgives those who will not repent. God will not forgive those who do not repent. Also remember, God's grace is infinite, but he never forgives without repentance. And this man shared a quote that I didn't know anything about, but I hope that we all will remember what this quote was and that we will use it. Because I think it's a good quote. It's Robert Turner, a preacher who last I know of was preaching in Burnet, but he's been all over the world. He's been to Australia, places like that. But Robert Turner once said, "We cannot out-Jesus Jesus." That's so true. No one can be more gracious than Christ, but he placed the condition of repentance before forgiveness is given. Another commented, "I suspect most people think the unwillingness to forgive equals hating the person, but not true. Charlie Kirk's wife, Erica, should have said, 'Forgiveness is God's business, but I refuse to hate the man for what he did, and will pray for his repentance and his eternal salvation.'" That's pretty powerful right there. That's something that I've learned out of this study. I can't say what he did was okay, but I can move on. I really don't have the power to forgive him because that's God's business. But I can pray that he repents. That's something that I didn't do for that young man to kill my daddy and my stepbrother. But I have now. I hope he did. I hope he's still alive that he was able to do that. So I'm going to revisit the scripture that I talked about a while ago, Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. In Luke 23 and verse 34, Christ speaks. And in Acts chapter 7, and we don't need to go there right now, but Acts 7 and verse 60, that's when Stephen's being stoned to death, the things that Stephen speaks. But Christ said, "Father, forgive them. Not I forgive you." Remember, Christ said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But he did not say, "I forgive you." Stephen said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against him. Not I release you of this guilt." He asked the Father to do it, not him. "May it not be counted against them. Not, I forgive all of you." It was all the Lord the Father. In each case, the offender is unrepentant. Both in Jesus' case, when he said, "Forgive them, so they not know what they do," and also with Stephen, says, "Forgive them." The offender is unrepentant. The speaker appeals to God, not himself. Because only God has the authority to forgive sin. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. We talked about this morning in the Bible class. And it's actually saying in verse 23, "You lawless men crucified and killed this Jesus." In verse 36, he said, "He was Lord and Christ." Verse 37, he said, "The people that heard these things, that they had killed the Lord and Christ, what shall we do?" In verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins." These are the ones that Jesus prayed to God that they be forgiven. And in Acts 7 and 6, verse 60, you can go to that if you want to, Sandy. Stephen's prayer was that they be spared until they repented. Now think about that now. That they be spared until they repented. Acts 9 and verse 18, Saul was one of them who did repent. Remember that occasion? He was told, "Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins." Paul was one that was holding or the clothes were piled at his feet as they stoned Stephen to death. And Paul repented. So in conclusion to all this, and I'm hoping that we all can agree with what's been said today. I'm glad that there was disagreement 4 weeks ago, as I said. Be careful what we say and how we think about those who have wronged us. Now, this is actually what Erica Kirk said that day on national TV. I went and looked it up on the internet. Hopefully, I got the truth. But she said, I forgive him because it is what Christ did and what Charlie would do. The answer to hate is not hate. The answer we know from the gospel is love and always love. Now, if I understood that right, she's thinking that Christ has already forgave that man without repentance. And that's really what she was wanting to do. I forgive him, she said. He's not repenting. But what we must do is not hate, not carry it with us. Let God be the one that puts judgment on this person. We must desire that the sinner repent and be saved. That's good advice. That's what we should do. And that's leaving everything in God's hands. If we do that, we won't have no hate in our heart. We'll only have love. That's all I have to say about this. I hope you never find yourself in a situation where you've lost a loved one because somebody did something wrong. One of the people that commented that they don't know what they would do if it was their wife. But that was the advice that he gave. Is that we hope that he repents and is saved. And that's what we need to do. Let God take care of it. In a sense, that's forgiving. But it's not saying it was okay what he did. This evening, it's very important to be on the Lord's side. It's very important to repent of our sins. For without it, we cannot be forgiven. And if you've never obeyed the gospel, you've not obeyed what God has told you to do. Peter gives us the deal in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. And be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Not because you've already been forgiven. It's kind of like what we studied about this morning about Paul. When Ananias told him to rise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. Some people try to say, well, he was already saved on the road to Damascus. Oh, he was already saved when he prayed for 3 days. No. He was still a sinner. Ananias told him what to do. Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins. We have to be pretty stubborn to miss that. We must be pretty one-sided to not understand what is being said right there. But that's what the Bible says. And also, as I said, you can be a Christian. We talked about a brother that had sinned in the congregation, and we know what's supposed to happen if it's a public thing. But, brethren, when they sin, they should desire to be like David. I have sinned against God. Please forgive me. We know what God did for David. He forgave him. We can help you at this time. Be in the right relationship with the Lord. Please come as we stand and sing this song.
I hear.